mouth and out the other cheek and into the shack's floor. Hudson had been pinned to the floor until he'd worked the poker out of the puncheons. When he finally did, and he eased the poker out of his mouth, he used the iron rod to beat the Texan to a bloody pulp. The Texan had died 3 days later, and Hudson had dragged his battered body out in the snow, leaving it near the privy for the porcupines and wolves. Paige Hudson was thinking about the Texan he'd killed as he rubbed the knotted scars on his cheeks with his thumb and index finger and stared at the manager of the Brixen and Dodge overnight stage station. The manager stood on the cabin's rotting wood stoop, a hairy hand shading his eyes from the mid-afternoon sun as he stared up at the six mounted riders before him. Stoop-shouldered, he wore shabby coveralls and a shaggy longhorn mustache with waxed ends. The mustache was the manager's ineffectual attempt at hiding a prominent overbite. The Texan had had an overbite nearly identical to the station manager's. After a couple of months in the hip-deep Montana snow, that overbite had become the only thing Paige Hudson could see or think about, and he'd gradually become consumed with an overwhelming urge to fix it with a pistol butt. Now someone nudged Hudson's right elbow, and Hudson turned to see Bert Snyder glowering at him.
Well?
Well what?
The man says he hasn't heard of a Massey around here, Paige. What are we going to do now?
Nudged from his reverie, Hudson leaned over his saddle horn and regarded the station agent skeptically.
What the hell you mean you never heard of Massey? We were told in town that Kuno Massey farms out here along one of these creeks. I didn't realize how many creeks there were. I would have had the gent draw me a map.
The station agent frowned, canted his head, and scratched his scalp.
Well, if there's a Massey out here, I don't know him. Massey, huh? No, sir, I never heard of no Massey.
When Hudson and his five companions had ridden into the yard, they'd seen a girl fetching water from the well pump. When she'd seen the strangers, she hurried into the cabin, and then the manager had come out.
Send the girl out here.
Huh?
You heard me.
She don't know no Massey.
How do you know? You ever ask her?
Hudson looked over to the redhead, Dusty Dale Wingett, then back at the station manager. Hudson put his hand on the butt of his big Remington.
Send her out here.
Still, the manager said nothing. His eyes had grown dark and fearful. His lips twitched as though he was murmuring to himself. Hudson loosened the gun in his holster.
Send her out here, mister. I'm gonna drill a bullet through your lying heart.
Before the manager could say anything, a girl stepped through the half-open door. She paused on the stoop beside the agent. She was a slight blonde with worn-out, worried eyes in a shapeless gray dress, faded and frayed from too many washings.
I'm here, and I don't know no Massey in these parts. So if you'll excuse Uncle Farley and me, we have a stage coming, and we need to get lunch on the table. Dinner don't fix itself, you know.
The one farthest from Hudson spit red-brown cut-plug tobacco juice onto the porch near the agent's left foot. His name was Billy Saber, and that was what he resembled with his long, hollow face and hooked nose under the visor of his Confederate gray cavalry hat, a saber ready to slash. No one said anything for several seconds. Regarding the girl, Bert Snyder spread his bewhiskered cheeks in a grin and cuffed his shapeless hat back on his head.
Oh, she's pretty.
She ain't bad, but she ain't what we're here for. We're here for Massey and the $2,000 bounty on his head.
Bounty?
That's right. Bounty. Little over a year ago, he killed the son of a man named Franklin Evans, big rancher near Julesburg. The son was about to carve out some whore's Adam's apple when Massey shot him. Old Evans put a bounty on Massey's head. Started out only $500, but no one's been able to bring the kid's head to Franklin, so he upped it.
Massey's become right good with a gun, they say.
Only because he's had to.
Vera!
Oh, what's the use of lying, Uncle Farley? These men are going to find Kuno anyway.
Vera turned her beseeching gaze to the mounted men.
Please leave him alone. Please leave him and July alone. They hadn't done anything to you.
The riders exchanged glances. Dusty Dale and Bert Snyder grinned. Hudson still had a look of quiet amusement on his round face with its small eyes and knobby scars.
Sure, we'll leave him alone where they live.
We just want to wish him and his bride a happy life.
Yeah, that's it. I knew he was around here. I knew we'd find that son of a bitch.
Please.